This morning's scripture reading is taken from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. It places us at the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which opens with the Beatitudes. Jesus has just emerged from the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted by the devil. Upon his return from the wilderness, Jesus immediately began his ministry, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing the people. I've asked Bob to share the reading with me. Listen now for the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him.
Then he began to speak and taught them, saying,
"Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
The word of God for the people of God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words from my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This is a familiar passage to many of us. Even if we haven't personally read this passage over and over again, we have probably experienced the Beatitudes in other ways. For example, one can choose from an assortment of books that have been written about the Beatitudes, attend a number of Beatitudes churches, join several different online study groups, visit a number of Beatitudes skilled nursing facilities, purchase and play Beatitudes sheet music, or watch a Beatitudes music video. There's even a Beatitudes needlepoint group and a Beatitudes cookbook you can order. No, I didn't. The Beatitudes is a passage that enjoys significant airtime well beyond the pews of the church. But how does it translate to our daily lives as Christians? Many Christians view these verses, these very blessings from God, as poetic, beautiful, and inspired, but not as actually speaking directly into our lives. The Beatitudes are blessings from God, but they go well beyond a blessing. Jesus proclaims these blessings as instructions from God, instructions for Jesus' disciples and for all who followed him. "Blessed are all those who may be poor or broken in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All who are humble, all who thirst for justice, all who may be persecuted as a result of standing up for what is right, for standing beside the marginalized, for all who are merciful, who are peacemakers, who are persecuted for following Jesus." These blessings define instructions from God on how to live out God's mission in the world. Yet the time in which Jesus lived guaranteed a difficult time and a difficult life for the vast majority of people, with most living in abject poverty and dying young. Life was, in a word, brutal. Yet in the midst of that brutal landscape, Jesus turned the values of that world upside down by offering an alternative world. Through the practice of living into the Beatitudes, you are blessed if you put the last first and the first last, if you share resources, if you prioritize not Roman power, but God's power. These blessings from God, these blueprints for the kingdom of God, were a call to Jesus' disciples and the early Christians, and they are a call to us today. But many of us resist living into that call of the Beatitudes. Theologian Charles James Cook describes well the relationship we have to these blessings. We admire the instruction, but we fear the implications of putting the words into actual practice. We fear the implications of putting the words into actual practice. Such a practice feels impractical. It's unrealistic to apply to our daily living because the world is so broken, because our country is so divided, because people are still in cages at the border, because dying is all around us, because the climate is warming, because our society privileges the rich over the poor and competition over collaboration. How can we live into such a practice in the face of this broken, broken world? Rather than feel inspired by such a blueprint for God's kingdom, we feel overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. How do we answer this call? We answer this call with imagination, with hopefulness. Just as Jesus turned upside down the values of the first century world, we are called today to offer an alternative to the brokenness we see by living into the spirit of the Beatitudes. Rather than perceive it as impractical or unrealistic, rather than feel overwhelmed or anxious by Jesus' instructions, we are invited to live into these blessings with an alternative offering of love and healing and wholeness. And the blessing of holy imagination can be our guide. Last year, my teenage daughter and I drove along a rural road in Maine. It was a well-traveled road, but it was evening and dark, and the road was unlit. As we drove along in silence, my daughter remarked to me, "This road is creepy." We continued quietly for a moment as I reflected on her comment. After a few minutes, I offered an idea. If this road were part of her neighborhood, if it were home, it wouldn't feel so creepy. She would know the twists and the turns of the road, the sound of the gravel under the tires, even the way the dark night sky looked between the branches of the trees. For a moment, we both imagined that we lived in one of the softly lit, cozy little homes that we passed along. And my daughter laughed. "It works! It feels less creepy when I imagine that it's home." An unfamiliar landscape, whether a new road, a new job, a new person, or a chapter in our lives without a familiar person, without a familiar job, or home, simply the unknown can make us feel uncertain and rob us of our sense of belonging, of security. An unfamiliar path has twists and turns that surprise us, that we may not know how to navigate well at first. The fear of the new, of the unknown, can be paralyzing. Something unfamiliar can even make us question our own place in the world and what it's all about. So we often greet the unknown with a sense of uncertainty, fear, and anxiety. But it is often our imagination that can guide us. In moments of an unfamiliar future, we can learn to trust God's presence. By imagining a way forward with God, by trusting that the sharp edges of the unknown will soften and smooth with time. We can fall into Jesus' invitation and live more fully into the spirit of blessings with hopefulness, love, compassion, and trust in God. I once heard a little bit of wisdom that might make you laugh. Here it is. If we could all imagine that all the other drivers on the road were loved ones, we'd have far fewer accidents. Just let that soak in for a minute. So as we all know, there are sometimes some very impulsive drivers on the road who may inspire in us some very colorful language behind the wheel. Raise your hand, I know you're out there. But generally speaking, I have found this wisdom helpful. Example, if another driver is tailgating me, or weaving between cars, or slow to move at a green light, I find that imagining that driver to be my sister, or my mom, or one of my teenage drivers, it immediately calms me down. I feel greater patience, even concern for this other driver who is actually a stranger. I might even offer them a silent prayer. My imagination actually can change my behavior. In this case, it's a form of holy imagination, a form of prayer that instills in me a greater sense of compassion and love toward the other. The fabric of Jesus' Beatitudes is to imagine God's kingdom come close. These Beatitudes call all of us closer to God and closer to one another. Jesus speaks to ordinary people using everyday examples in his stories from ordinary life, like yeast and wine and lost coins and lost sheep. Because it is through ordinary people that God's kingdom comes close. It's through ordinary people like you and me that God's kingdom comes close. Jesus' message is that God is speaking to all of us. God calls us back again and again to be in relationship. And Jesus invites us into this relationship by living into the spirit of the Beatitudes. When we make the Beatitudes a practice in our life, we are responding to God's blessings upon all of us, extended to every single person in this space and every person beyond these walls. So where do you see yourself in the spirit of these blessings? When have you been a peacemaker in your life? When have you felt broken? How did that place of brokenness shape your call toward a hunger for justice? When have you received mercy from another? And how has that impacted your understanding of what it is to be merciful? Who do you know who has stood in solidarity with one who is oppressed? And what did that teach you? How have you been a mentor to another or been mentored? And how did that fill you? Who gave you a chance? Who really saw you? And how will you pass that love on to another? However imperfect our lives may feel, we fit perfectly into God's call to live out the spirit of these blessings. And it is this same spirit that is on the move at Village Church. Today's chapel chat will share some of the learning from our small group work of the fall. The work helped to identify what is important to us as a congregation and how that helps us define who we are. These ways of being Village Church are aptly called the Beatitudes or the Be-attitudes. They include, be loved by God at every age and stage of life. Be longing to one another and to God. We are a congregation continuing in the process of becoming as we question, learn, and grow. Befriending others through service, advocacy, and listening. beholding our still speaking God, and being real and vulnerable. We are invited and called as followers of Christ, as a congregation, and as creatures of God's creation to live into the spirit of the Beatitudes. Blessed is the gift of holy imagination and a faithful hopefulness for the future. And let the people say, Amen.